But if you have your Bibles, I want you to look with me to the book of Ephesians. And this morning I want us to look at the second chapter. We're going to pick up this story here with verse number 7. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And if you're able to, I'd like for you to stand with me in respect to God's Word as we look at these particular verses here for tonight, for today. Ephesians chapter 2 and beginning with verse number 7. Very familiar passages of Scripture. My text verse is going to come out of verse number 10. And I want to give you a challenge about that. I think it's important for every blood-washed, born-again believer. And maybe if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, we'll extend an invitation to you and trust that you'll just trust the Lord as your personal Savior today. But chapter 2 and verse number 7, let me read these verses to you. That in the ages to come he might show, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These are some amazing verses here, especially for a blood-washed, born-again believer. Verse number 10, though, is what I want to center your attention to. And look at it once again, those first couple of words, that first sentence of verse number 10. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship. I remember hearing many years ago for the first time, children sing that song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the earth and the sun and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. And I want to show you from the scriptures today about God and how he works. We are his workmanship. And just bring them some thoughts out about that to you this morning. Once again, notice that verse there, verse number 10. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When I read those verses, I cannot just think about how wonderful and how blessed we are, those of us that know Christ as our Savior, but just to think that how wonderful it is to be saved. The Bible says we are his workmanship. It is such a blessing to be saved. But then to think on top of that, that we are his workmanship. Now I want you to get a picture of that word there. We are his workmanship. When that word workmanship comes to mind, what do you think of? Well, the Bible says we are his workmanship. I think about my mind rushes to a cabinet shop, where maybe you have some different saws and planes and drills and different tools, and a man will take some raw material and he'll begin to make something that is beautiful and useful in a very dynamic way. Well, the Bible says that we are his workmanship. In other words, once we're saved by grace through faith, then we become a product, a manufactured product of God's redeeming, saving grace. Something that he is making, something that he is producing in us by grace through faith. We are his workmanship. In other words, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then he is making something out of you. I'm looking at these fine young men sitting on this front row right here, and I want you young men to understand that God has a plan for your life. Once you got saved, you are his workmanship. He is going to craft you into something for his glory and for his honor, every single person here today. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, then you are his workmanship. It's the same idea that we get from the wording That's found in Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Let me read it to you. The Bible says, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Amen. So God is making something. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. So this morning I want us to break down this verse here and make some applications I think will be a help and a blessing to all of us. So first of all, we begin with we are. So without a question, that has to be referring to the redeemed. Amen. The blood washed. We are. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, is including himself. And he says, we are. So no doubt whatsoever, he's talking about the redeemed of God. We are, and that's right now, amen, and it's never going to change. The only kind of salvation God knows how to do is eternal salvation, amen. We are His workmanship, and that His is referring to the all-sufficient, all-sustaining, omnipotent God that spoke the world into existence. How amazing is that? The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. Bam, there was light. Amen. Do you know that I have just begun? I believe in the Big Bang theory now. Or not theory, but I believe in the Big Bang. I do. God said it, and bang, it was so. Amen. I believe in that now. Praise God. We are His. The all-sustaining, all-sufficient God that spoke the world into existence. We're His workmanship. In other words, we're a product that is being made by His grace through faith. Created. That means crafted with the idea of proprietorship. On every piece of garment that we have on, unless it's been cut off, but there's some kind of a tag on it that lets the public know where that particular garment was made. Whether it was made in the USA, or whether it was made in Mexico, or made in Canada, or made in Bangladesh, or Taiwan, or China, or wherever it is, amen. Well, the Bible says we're His workmanship. The Bible says created in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's crafted with the idea of proprietorship of the manufacturer. We are His workmanship. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then somewhere it ought to be evident on you that you're God-made. Amen. That you are made in Christ Jesus unto good works. And those works are works that are beneficial. They're works that are helpful and beneficial to all of mankind. Works, talking about deeds and acts and labor. Works that are good. He says ordained. That means to be fit up in advance. It means to be prepared beforehand. The Bible says we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. In other words, He's already laid it out for us to fit up in advance, that we should walk in them. In other words, it is as a proof of ability. Walking the course of life. You could imagine maybe some teenage boys somewhere on a basketball court, and one of them says, I bet I can make 20 free throws without and not miss one. 20 in a row. And his buddies say, okay, if you can do it, then let's see you do it. And the Bible says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's kind of like it's the proof in the pudding. Amen. It's a demonstration of the grace of God in our lives. Now praise the Lord for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God for eternal salvation through the blood. Salvation by grace through faith in the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want you to understand this morning is, God has a plan for our lives. Now that we're saved, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's why any pastor is going to have concern over his flock. If he doesn't see something in them that is that doesn't reflect the grace of God working and abounding in their lives. So you see, these good works, they flow from the effects of grace. They do not produce grace. These good works that we're ordained to walk in, they flow out of grace. They come out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. They do not produce grace. Amen. I want you to see that we have an example to follow. I'm looking in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse number 38. And it says this to us, a portion of the verse. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now notice what it says there about Jesus. He went about doing good. So I want you to understand from that is that we have an example to follow. This is not something that I'm making up. But the Bible says that we're his workmanship. In other words, God has a plan for every one of us. And in that plan and in that path is supposed to come good works. Amen. Remember, they don't produce grace. They flow out of grace. And we're to follow his steps, the Lord Jesus. The Savior's doing good was because of his love of all of mankind. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus, he is the supreme example of divine benevolence toward all the human family. Universal goodwill. Amen. He brings rain on the just and the unjust. Praise the Lord. But not only that, friend, we have an example that we are to follow. I'm looking at Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So, according to the scriptures, according to the Bible, we're his workmanship. And what is he doing? He is creating in us, in Christ Jesus, good works that he has already prepared us to walk in, that's already been ordained, and it flows out of grace. It does not produce grace. We're his workmanship. God's doing something in each and every one of us. And I want you to see, first of all, this morning, that these good works that we're all ordained to walk in are deeds that glorify God. A very familiar verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, says it this way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and pat you on the back and give you recognition and elevate you to a supreme status. No. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The truth is, we really don't know who's watching us. But they are watching us. And these good works that flow from grace, from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, good works are produced out of that. Amen. That relationship, it comes from it. It doesn't create them. It flows from that. Listen to this verse here. First Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I have a dear friend of mine that he was having a difficult time with an adult son. It's put in probably three years or more in Bible college. And there were some things that had happened in that school there that just shattered his faith. And because of that, he just he lost confidence really in Christians, and really he was losing his confidence in the Lord. And he just come to the point where he just said, I think, and he's saying this to his father, he said, I think that all Christians are fakes and all Christians are phonies. And the father was taking some scripture verses and he was trying to show his son, son, you've been hurt, son. You had your confidence in some people and they let you down and you're having a hard time seeing beyond that. And the Lord's never going to let you down. But he just couldn't see it. I mean, he was just bound by it. He was just kind of teeter-tottering on that line there where he could have just thrown it all in and said, I don't want anything else to do with Christianity. And his dad was just trying to explain to him, son, it's not that way. People are not like that. You've just been hurt and you just can't see. You're just seeing it one way. Son, you've got to trust me on this. Well, this was in January where this was taking place. It was extremely cold. A storm had blown in, snow and freezing rain, and it was a rough evening, Saturday night, probably around 11 to midnight when this conversation was taking place. And this father was trying to convince his son, son, all Christians are not that way, son. You're hurt and you can't see it right. But his son just couldn't grasp it. And then his dad happened to look out through the windows of his office there, his study there at the church building. And he saw one of his church members, one of the men of his church. We're talking about a man probably in his late 70s, early 80s, a deacon. And a bus captain or bus driver, bus mechanic was active. He knew that it was going to be very rough weather for the evening. So he was out that night plugging up some of the buses, putting a cord to them to make sure that they had those engine heaters going so the buses would start and pick up the boys and girls riding that Sunday school bus the next day. And he is trying to convince his son, son, not everybody's that way. And then he saw and he called this man's name and he opened up the shades and he said, son, I think that it's real to this man. You see, these good works that we are all ordained to walk in, they always bring glory to God. They're not for me. They're not for you. We don't even know what God is doing. I doubt that that man, as a matter of fact, he's in heaven now. And I doubt that he even ever knew what his testimony meant to that young man. But that young man, his whole life, Christian life, and his ministry was spared because of that good deed. He is in the ministry now. He is serving in a good, sound, fundamental local church because what his dad could not express with words, he saw it in good deeds. You see, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I am telling you, if somebody is looking at each and every one of us, and from that relationship that we have with Christ, God will produce works that are going to bring glory and honor to His name. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I mean, listen, this is something, these good works that we are ordained to walk in is something that every single blood-washed, born-again believer should have emanating from their lives. And first of all, it always brings glory to God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and build you up and talk about you. No, listen, I remember Dr. Joe Boyd said to me, if you get the recognition down here, you probably don't get it up there. It doesn't matter what anybody, if I get any kind of recognition down here, it doesn't really matter because we're not doing it for that. We're doing it for the life beyond, amen, the next life. These good works that we're ordained to walk in, they're deeds that glorify God. I want you to see number two. Look with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful. Listen now, that they that believed in God, Titus chapter 3 verse 8, that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That's what we're talking about. And then he goes on to say, these things are good and profitable unto men. So the first thing I want you to understand, that these good works that we're all ordained to walk in, number one, they are to bring glory and honor to God. Number two, they are to touch people's lives. Look at it. These things are good and profitable unto men. These things touch people's lives. I remember hearing my friend, Brother Dennis Coral, tell the story here about when he was early in his ministry. He was preaching a revival meeting down in, it was either Alabama or Mississippi, one of those deep southern states. And the Lord gave him a wonderful revival meeting. And there was a man in that church there that was that owned a mechanic shop. And after just the Lord just knit his heart with Brother Dennis Coral. And after the revival meeting, the man came to Brother Coral and said, Here's what I want you to do. He said, If you break down anywhere in America and I can come and help you, I'm going to be offended if you don't call me. I'll bring my service truck, I'll get you back on the road, and I'll be offended if you don't call me. And Brother Dennis Coral said, he said, you know, I remember being broke down at places and I hated to make that call, but I didn't know what else to do. So I'd get to a phone and I'd call him, and he said, well, I can be there in 2 hours, or I can be there in 4 hours, or I can be there in 6 hours, or whatever it was. And he'd bring a service truck. He said there were times that he had rebuilt a rear end of his truck or to replace a starter, or alternator, or something more serious. He said sometimes that he would couldn't get it up and going in time for him to make the meeting, so Brother Dennis would rent a car for he and his family and drive to the meeting. And then he would come in and fix the vehicle and drive it to him and drive the rental car back. You know, every one of us really can look back into our lives and see big, big influences that were made into us by kind deeds that people did for us. Every one of us. I remember my wife telling a story about when she was just a young Christian, just riding a Sunday school bus to church, and she wanted to have some dresses to wear to church, and somebody brought her a dress. Her parents weren't in church yet, but they extended a love and care for her. And you know what? Listen, folks, these good works that we're all ordained to walk in, they touch people's lives. You just really don't know what a card or a letter or a gift is going to do to a child or a teenager or a couple. But these good works that we're all ordained to walk in, they touch people's lives. The problem is we want everybody to do things for us. But instead, we are to be the giving people. We are to be the good works people. We are to be the ones that are giving. Remember, these things, they flow from grace. They don't produce grace. They flow out of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, I met a man, we called him the baptistry man. He had designed a heater for baptistries that didn't burn up all the time. You had that problem before? You have one from? Yes, sir. I mean, he would come from anywhere. He would come, all he asked you to do was to just pay for his expenses. He'd bring the baptistry, bring it, install it all. Man, there are no doubt hundreds of other churches that benefited from that dear brother there, good works. Look with me in your Bibles. Look with me to the book of Acts and the 9th chapter, please. Acts chapter number 9. And look at this here, Acts chapter 9 and verse number, we're going to pick up the story in verse number 36, Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. The Bible says, verse 36, Acts chapter number 9, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which was by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. Isn't that what we're talking about? Good works and alms deeds. Isn't it interesting that God separates those two? There are certain things that we do for people that they're just private. Where that's when the Bible talks about don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I mean, they're just private. At my dad's funeral services, we found out about a whole lot of alms deeds that my dad did that we never even knew that he did. They were just private tokens of things that he did to help people that nobody else knew about. They just told us now, this is what your dad did when we were in trouble. But these good works, they're distinguished. We're going to see the difference in this story here. We'll pick it up once again, verse number 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which was by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, here this woman, oh listen, too many times we just got it all wrapped up to ourselves. We're looking for everybody to do everything for us. And God says, give of ourselves. Give of ourselves. Go beyond us. These good works, they touch people's lives. Here this woman, she had died. Simon Peter came into the area, and these women are holding up these garments. Look at all these coats. And I mean, if it was today, they'd be saying, look at all these culottes. We just headed over to so-and-so camp and made all these culottes for our girls. Wow, glory. I mean, all these things. They were weeping, the coats, the garments that she made for us. You see, these good works that I'm talking about, they touch people's lives. I mean, when was it the last time that you invested something? I'm not talking about just giving and thank God for the alms deeds, the money that we give behind to make that. But I mean, when you just personally said, I'm going to help that family. I'm going to help that child. I'm going to do something for them. You see, these good works, which the Bible says, look at me now, we are all ordained to walk in. For we are His, we, talking about the redeemed, are His, God, workmanship, the idea of craftsmanship. God is creating, making. He has taken some raw material and He's going to make something out of us that's going to produce good works. It flows out of grace. It doesn't make grace, it comes out of grace that we're ordained to walk in. You know, there's a gentleman that we have been acquainted with through the radio station. His name is Brother Philip Edge. He's in his upper 80s now. He has a lot of health problems. I mean, he's just a remarkable man. He just loves God, just gives to the work of God. And I remember he was first, when I first met him, he said, you know, I'd watch TV. And he said, I just would find myself griping about everything that's on TV. And it's not too hard. If you're a Christian, it ain't going to be too hard to gripe about things that are on television. Amen. And he said, I'd watch TV and then I'd just gripe. And he said, I just thought to myself, why in the world am I paying for this service here? And all I do is gripe about it. He said, I could take that $80 that I'm paying every month for that cable TV. I could just cut it off. And I could give it to the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. But he's feeble. He can barely drive now. And it's just something that he does. He has a little shop in the back of his house, and it's just a little simple little trailer house. And he could live in such a way better place than he is. But he just says, this is what makes me happy. He's got a little shop, and he cuts all these things. He little makes these things for the women of his church and people here at our radio station. And I mean, he just cuts these little craft things, these little napkin holders and paper plate holders. And I remember one time he said to me, Brother Oliver, have I ever given you any of my foot files? I said, I don't think so, Brother Edge. And he gets these little pieces of wood and he cuts a little weird foot out of them. And he puts this hard, real coarse sandpaper, sticks it on there. And he said, it works real good. I mean, listen to folks in Doddridge County. We got the smoothest feet of any place in America. Amen. Because Brother Edge, now what in the world would just make him? He's so feeble. But he just works in that little shop of his and cuts those little things out and he gives them to people. I'll tell you why. Number one, it makes him happy. Because it's always more blessed to give than receive. I'm telling you, listen, the Christian life, the joy in the Christian life comes from giving. And the Bible says if you know Christ as your Savior, then you are created unto good works. You are to be involved in something that brings glory and honor to God, that is touching people's lives. Are you touching anybody's life personally? Are you investing in anybody? You see, these good deeds, they touch people's lives. And then I want you to notice with me, in Titus chapter number 2, we'll pick it up in verse number 14, the Bible says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And the Bible simply tells us that we are to be zealous to do these things. Amen. Just absolutely zealous. When I was going to Bible college, I remember Brother Howes telling a story about a lady that came to him for some counsel. She said that she was on the verge of a nervous breakdown and she needed some counseling. I mean, she was just ready to just go over the edge. I mean, she was just at the point where it was just going to be over her and she just needed some counsel because she was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. He said, well, listen, here's what I want you to do. When we're going to have prayer and you're going to be dismissed from this meeting here, and then I want you to go to the grocery store and I want you to buy everything that it takes to make some chocolate chip cookies. She said, what? She said, I'm at the point of a nervous breakdown and you want me to make some chocolate chip cookies? He says, yep, go make some chocolate chip cookies and make a bunch of them. And then I want you to go to the nearest old folks home, some kind of benevolence home, and give out those cookies. She said, you don't understand. I am at the point of a nervous breakdown. And I'm just about to lose it all. And you want me to go home and make some chocolate chip cookies and give them to some old people? He said, that's exactly what I want you to do. So they had prayer and she left. He said, now make sure and see me next week. Well, the next week came by, she didn't show up. The next week came by, she didn't show up. The next week, he just happened to see her in the hallway. And he said, listen, you've missed the appointment the last 2 weeks. She said, I'm sorry, I put the nervous breakdown on hold. I'm having too much fun making baking cookies and giving them to people. Now listen to me, folks. There's something to that. You see, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And these good works, the Bible says, we are to be zealous of them. The reason why there's not a whole lot of joy in Christians today is because they're not giving out. And these performing good works will bring joy into your life. But remember, these good works, they don't produce grace. They flow out of grace. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm looking at you in your God-given eyeball this morning, and I'm telling you the path that you're walking on, from that path, out of that path, ought to be some good works that bring glory to God, that touch people's lives, and we ought to be zealous to involve ourselves in these kind of activities that will make a difference in people's lives. Do you want to make a difference in somebody's life? Do you want to make a difference? Well, I have showed you this morning from the Word of God how you, and if I'm talking about anybody, whether you're 8 years old, 18, or 88, you can make a difference in somebody's lives by involving yourselves in good works that really naturally come out of that salvation by grace through faith. But that's what you have to have down first. Salvation by grace through faith. We've got way too much this social gospel going on today, offering all these good works, but there's no gospel to it. Lord God, help us not get in that awful trap. Amen. That we are promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ.